The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, was in the news this week when the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments around whether its leadership is constitutional. Lawyers representing the White House and the firm Sela Law said the fact that a president can't fire the agency's head over a policy matter is unconstitutional. The counsel defending the current law said the CFPB and other similar agencies require this level of independence to function as designed. Mallory Sorrell is an assistant professor of government and law at Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. Her forthcoming book is called Democracy Declined: The Failed Politics of Consumer Financial Protection. Mallory, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, give us a sense of why this bureau, the CFPB, was created in the first place. What is it supposed to be doing?
Sure. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was established right after the financial crisis, right? It was part of the big Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act that was passed in 2010. And the goal was to create an agency for the very first time that would be solely responsible for looking out for Americans' financial interests, right? There were a number of other financial regulatory agencies that existed and had existed for a long, long time. But all of those agencies were originally designed to look out for banks. So to look out for the profitability of banks, to make sure that banking was sort of stable. But none of them were really created to look out for consumers' interests. And so when we started passing in Congress consumer financial protection regulations to help consumers, Congress essentially gave oversight for these new laws to these existing financial regulators, none of whom really had expertise in dealing with consumer protection. So one of the consequences of this is that you end up in a situation where consumer financial protection sort of falls through the cracks, right? It's just not as important to a lot of these agencies. And then you end up in a financial crisis. So the goal was to create an agency solely focused on protecting American consumers.
And this came in the lead up to that financial crisis. There was a lot of squirrely behavior by various kinds of financial institutions, in many cases, apparently without the best interests of their consumers at heart. Is that a fair way to state it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think for a lot of people now, it makes sense that if you don't protect consumers, that ultimately leads to some pretty disastrous consequences for the larger financial market. But at the time, that really wasn't the view, right? So sort of engaging in bad behavior often made a lot of money for companies. So as long as these companies looked like they were profiting, people weren't necessarily thinking about the consequences that would come down the road from that.
One decision made by Congress in creating this is part of what has the agency in the Supreme Court today, the idea that we're going to have one director of this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as opposed to a board, but we're going to give some protections for that director from being fired arbitrarily by the president. What went into that decision?
So, you know, that decision, like a lot of things that came with creating the CFPB, was a compromise. I will say consumer advocates, people who supported creating this new agency, were really split about whether they wanted it to have a single director versus a multi-member sort of board. The benefit of a director is that they can sort of act a little more quickly. They can sort of take the agency in a particular direction and make it do the things that consumer advocates wanted them to be able to do. That, of course, depends on having a leader of the agency who supports the mission of the agency, right? It could turn really easily as well. Compared with a board that might be a little bit slower to act, but would also be insulated a little bit more from the turnover from sort of one administration to the next. And so one of the compromises ended up being we will accept a single director that will be able to maybe work a little more quickly, but we're going to embed this agency within the Federal Reserve Board sort of for accountability, right, to an existing agency.
Now, we have this Supreme Court case, a group that was under investigation by the CFPB challenged the very constitutional existence. The remedy they're looking for is not just for themselves, not just changing the board, but to, in effect, erase everything done, as I understand it, under the Consumer Financial
That's
Protection Board.
That's their goal, I think.
Right. And it sounds like the Supreme Court agrees with part of what they want, but not the other part. Watching the Supreme Court, what are you looking for as far as the possible outcomes for this Consumer Financial Protection Agency?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the heart of this debate is something that has absolutely nothing to do with consumer financial protection.
Right.
This is a larger debate about how powerful the president should be, right? And whether or not we should adopt something called a strong unitary executive, which basically means that anyone who is part of the executive branch ultimately should be answerable to and sort of responsible to the president. The idea that the president should be able to do what they want with members of the executive branch. And there's a debate about sort of to what extent the Constitution really intends for the president to have sort of unlimited power over the executive branch or not. And so what's at issue here is this idea that the single director of the CFPB cannot be fired at will, which is to say the president can't just decide to fire the CFPB director simply because the president doesn't like what they're doing. They have to have cause, right? And so the argument before the court is essentially whether the president, whether there should be any position that the in the executive branch that the president can't fire at will, or are there some times where we might want to have an executive branch agency that is insulated from the president. In this case, the most sort of drastic outcome would be that the president or that the Supreme Court gets rid of decades and decades of precedent and says that, in fact, they believe in a strong unitary executive and that no agency director, whether a board or an individual, can have any protections against being fired at will. That would also implicate things like the Federal Reserve Board, the Federal Communications Commission. There are a lot of agencies with multiple member boards that have protections against being fired at will. That's very unlikely to happen, right? The court will almost certainly not do that. The next dramatic measure they could take would be to say that the entire CFPB is unconstitutional because they find this directorship unconstitutional, so they're going to get rid of the whole agency. That is, I think, what a lot of opponents of the CFPB would like. It is also, I think, unlikely for a couple of reasons. The first is it would sort of wreak havoc on regulation. What would we do with any of the existing regulations that the CFPB has put forward, many of which are also sort of co-authored by other agencies that would still be in existence? The other reason that's unlikely is that there's a provision in the Dodd-Frank bill that tried to anticipate this scenario and essentially says, look, if the court decides that an individual provision of this bill is unconstitutional, they're instructed to do everything they can to maintain as much of the rest of the law as possible. And even some of the conservative justices on the court, like a Brett Kavanaugh, who seems sympathetic to the idea that the director of the CFPB might be unconstitutional, also seem to feel bound by this mandate to maintain as much of the law as possible. So the most likely outcome is that the sort of five more conservative justices on the court agree that this directorship is unconstitutional, and they will simply strike the language from the law that limits the president's ability to fire the director at will. That would be, you know, that would keep the agency intact. The potential consequence is that you might see a lot of financial companies who have had to pay penalties for violating consumer financial protection laws that the CFPB sort of enforced, they might go to court and say, well, we should get that money back because you just found this structure unconstitutional, and therefore, you know, this penalty should also have been unconstitutional.
We're talking to Mallory Sorrell from Lafayette College, author of the forthcoming book, Democracy Declined, The Failed Politics of Consumer Financial Protection. We're looking at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Mallory, stepping away from the court case, can you give us a sense of what the CFPB has done over the years since its creation? What kind of enforcements have we seen?
Yeah, so it's been a remarkably powerful advocate for consumers, certainly in its first several years when it was under the sort of supervision of an appointee who supported its mission. So, for example, in the first 5 years, they enacted a number of new financial regulations that were supposed to protect consumers from sort of unscrupulous mortgage practices or payday loan practices. They also, through their investigations of companies like Wells Fargo, right, who we know got into some trouble a few years ago with their some of their financial practices, they returned just in the first 5 years of operation over $12 billion to about 27 million consumers. It's a huge amount of money that they're putting back in the pockets of consumers. The other thing that they've done that's been very popular among consumers and very unpopular among banks is that they have made their public complaint, that made their complaint database public. So if you're a consumer and you think your bank is treating you unfairly, they've done something you don't think is right, you can go file a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You can also look up other consumers who might have filed complaints with the same bank. So it's public, right? You can go and do research on what these banks are doing. But the other great part about this is that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau essentially acts as a mediator. They put you in touch with the bank and try to get those disputes resolved. And they have a very high rate of initiating some sort of resolution process among consumers and banks. And so, again, in the first 5 years of their existence, they handled over 1 million consumer complaints against financial companies. So all of these things are things that the agency is doing to really directly benefit sort of ordinary folks who are having problems with mortgages or credit cards or bank accounts, things like that.
In our last few moments, how did things change under the Trump administration?
So when the original director, Rich Cordray, who was appointed by President Obama, eventually decided to step down, right? He ended up running for governor of Ohio. President Trump was able to sort of name his replacement. First, he put in sort of as a temporary replacement, Mick Mulvaney, right, who we know is now serving as his sort of chief of staff. And then eventually with Kathy Craninger, who was another sort of Trump appointee. Both Mulvaney and to a slightly lesser extent, Craninger, I would say she has not been quite as extreme in her actions as Mulvaney has been. But they went into this position really trying to weaken the power of the agency. So Mulvaney, for example, actually rewrote the mission of the agency to say that they're no longer just serving consumers, but they're actually going to try and serve banks as well. He sort of pushed to roll back some regulations that the agency was about to implement to put limits on things like payday loans. He tried to sort of slow down or potentially weaken some of the enforcement efforts against companies like Equifax, right? If we think, remember the data breach that were, and Wells Fargo actually also, that were taking place. And so, you know, they've done quite a bit to try and, I would say, slow down some of the rulemaking and some of the investigations and enforcement that the agency has been carrying out.
Mallory, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Mallory Sorrell, Assistant Professor of Government and Law at Lafayette College. We talked to her today about the Supreme Court arguments this week over the constitutionality of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and its leadership.